Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, Plain and Simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before the people of God, to expound on the word of God, to hear what God has to say to his people. As always, I'm grateful and thankful to God and to you for joining in on Wednesday night for Words of Wisdom, Plain and Simple. I want you to know that our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 28 through 31. And I pray that you had time to read the whole chapter. The title of our lesson is, I really want to ask a question tonight, is, do you recognize that hand of God working in your life? Do you recognize the hand of God working in your life? At this time, I'm going to play a song, and I think the song is more appropriate for the lesson tonight. The title of the song is Alfred. Is Alfred. Hallelujah. God is sovereign. Yes, he is. God can do what he wants. Hallelujah. When he wants, for who he wants. And he don't make mistakes. That's why we could trust a God like that, that has all power in his hand, know all things and everywhere at the same time. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Well, again, I'm going to say the title of the lesson. And like I said, I'm asking each and every one of you, and I have asked myself the same question. Do you recognize the hand of God working in your life? The scripture going to come from Romans, the 8th chapter, the 28th through the 31st verse. And before every lesson, I do a background or intro. And today, I just want to talk a little while about the hand of God. You see, the term, the hand of God, the term, the hand of God, refers to the power. One moment. Let me start over. Someone was probably trying to call a line and called my telephone. But let me tell you this. I'm going to talk a little while about the term, the hand of God. It refers to the power of God. Because we all know that God doesn't have a hand, a flesh, and he don't have bones. Because John 4:24 says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What I'm talking about, his hand as a symbol of his guidance and his instructions and his protection and his provision, his favor, and even his discipline. It can only be recognized through the study of his word, prayer, and total trust in God. You see, you got to know somebody or something to fully trust them. And when I'm talking about the hand of God operating in our lives, you have to know how God operates. So you have to study the word and you pray, and then you begin to trust him more and more. You see, God's hand is seen at all times and in everything. But you got to recognize it. You all can ask yourself the question. I can't see you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But have you ever looked at the things that are happening in the world and say that you can truly see the hand of God operating? You got to recognize it. You got to look for it to see it. The Bible contains several references to God's hand, including its role and its role in creation and its ability to strengthen and uphold all things, working them out for the good. But for our good, and the work of God's hand is also for his glory. The Bible teaches us that we were created to give God glory, honor, and praise. That the scripture say, if the people won't give him his due, he'll let the rocks cry out. God is working in us for our good and his glory. There's also biblical verses such as Matthew 11:28 that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. You see, God's hand here is being expressed. Come on, y'all. I'm talking about analogies and I'm talking about metaphors. It is expressed as a source of rest and strength. You know, why should a Christian fear anything that this world, which is ruled by Satan, standards is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Why should Christian fear any of this, if you really know that you're in the hand of God who created the universe. Psalms 95, in there, there's a scripture that says, the sea is his, for it was he who made it. And his hand formed the dry land. He will guide you through every circumstance, situation, and always leading and guiding you to the right path, the hand of God. When you're going through trials, you might not understand the moving hand of God because it seemed like he's so far. But many times you will understand by and by. We can look at some of our early childhood experiences, and some of them may be tragic. But God, you see now, God used all of that to get you where you're at today. God uses all of our life experiences, the good ones as well as the bad ones, to get us into the intended purpose that he established for us before the foundation of the world. You see, there's a scripture, and I'm going to let you see what some of the people in the Bible says about the hand of God. You see, Joshua in 4:23-24 says, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did with the Red Sea. See, he's talking about the hand of God. Come on, y'all. He said, you remember when he got ready to cross you over, going on your way to the promised land, and the Egyptian was running behind you behind you, and the sea was in front of you, and you was sort of like boxed in with nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. God spoke to Moses and divided the Red Sea, and you crossed over to dry land. So the scripture says, Lord, your God did with the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we went over. He said, you remember that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye may fear God, fear the Lord your God forever. He said that the whole earth might know the hand of God. I'm not saying anything new talking about the hand of God. And then I went and seen what Job had to say. You see, Job recognized the hand of God while being tested when he said in Job 19:21, he said, have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friend, for the hand of God has touched me. You see, Job didn't understand what was going on. We know by reading the scriptures in the book of God, the book of Job that God has given us, that in the end we realize that it was only a test. But as Job was going through, he didn't know, but he knew what was coming up against him was God, and he trusted God. He said, even though you slay me, will I trust you? But he said, the hand of God has touched me. You see, he didn't fully understand, but he realized that God's hand is in everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yet it is to be trusted. Wow, be at work. Lord, I see what's going on right now, but I know you could fix it. Come on, y'all. Job also said in 12:10, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Job said, who hands it? Is that in the hands of God? So with that being said, I can look at it, and when we say sometime that God has the whole world in his hands, we could believe it. That's a little background on the hand of God, and the question was, do you recognize the hand of God working in your life? And I think about some scriptures that could enhance our knowledge of the hand of God. So I went to Romans 8:28 through 31. And the scripture says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, when a Christian uttered this phrase, all things work out together for the good, he or she is referring to a portion of one of the most quoted claim verse in the New Testament. Yes, that's what they're saying. But they'll say all things work together for the good. Sometimes they leave the second part out to say to whom, to them whom he called according to his purpose. He called according to his purpose. You see, those who love the Lord can trust his goodness, his power, or his will to work all things out together for our good. You see, when we trust God and believe God that he can work all things out for our good, we are on a journey with him. Come on, y'all. We buy into his will. We buy into his way. We buy and get clearer understanding day by day as far as what he have for us to do. You see, the promise that God works all things out together for the good does not mean that all things taken by themselves are good. Sometimes and some events are bad. Come on, I don't have to tell you that. Look around. Murder in the street, wars, homelessness, injustice, poor leadership. And I could go on and on, and I could talk about the hurricanes and the sudden snow and the flooding. Yes, some things are bad, but God is able to work them together for good. Come on, y'all. He sees the big picture. You see, God had a master plan before the foundation of the world, and all of us were included. That's why he told the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29 and 11 concerning the people. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then he turned around and tell Isaiah in 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall be condemned. You see, this is the heritage of the servants of God. And their righteousness, God say, is of me. We have to realize that God is working on our behalf. And I want to tell you not just something, not just the big things, but even the little things, the minute things. God wants to work it all out for our good. That's why when we are asked to pray, pray in season and out of season, pray in, for all things, all things. And when we say he's working it out for our good, it doesn't mean we will acquire all that we want to desire. It's about God's goodness. You see, he's talking about he's going to do this all by his grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You see, his grace always give us what we don't deserve or could ever achieve on our own. You see, you got to understand what grace is all about. Because when you can understand that, you can rest in the fact that he's going to work all things out together for your good. You see, you have to take these scriptures and put them up on top of each other to make it all fit so jointly. And then you could have the confidence and the blessing assurance of everything that God says. See, we're talking about the grace that give us what we don't deserve or achieve on our own. And then he's talking about, look, I'm going to give you my mercy, which is going to hold back the punishment that you deserve. And it is commanded. It commands us to have confidence that his plan will work out as he sees fit. See, you got to take and say that in there. Because you see, we human and we want what we want. And the Bible say our wants are unnumbered and unlimited. And we have all these things we want. But we cannot forget God's will be done. When Jesus was praying to God in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was asking God to please remove the cup from him because he knew the suffering that he would be facing. And not only the suffering, but he knew the separation because the sins of the world would be placed on him and it would separate him for a little while from his Father. He had never experienced that separation. But you got to remember, let God have his way. And then Jesus will fix it for you. You see, since this plan is always good, Christian can take confidence that no matter our circumstances or whatever state we are in, God is active and will conclude things according to his good and wise design, which is always best for us. See, we could only see what's in front of us. For God to see the future. Some things we think we want on our lives, God knows it's not good for us. Some things we want right now, God knows if we get it now, we're going to only mess it up. And some things God say you should never have that because he knows the damage. You know, it could be a lot of money and you would get so big-headed that you could have destruction because of your pride. See, God knows what's best for us. You see, with this knowledge, we can learn to be content. See, Paul had a scripture in Philippians 4:11. He said, I learned to be content in whatever state that I'm in. Because where you are now has nothing to do with where God is going to bring you to. So you trust him and be patient and hold on to God, that unchanging hand. Keep doing what you're supposed to do in the meantime. Wait until your change comes. The Bible says help is always on the way. You see, the fact that God works all things out together for the good means God's plan will not be dwarfed, will not be short, will not be canceled, can't be erased. We are part of his plan. Having been called according to his purpose. The hand of God called us, part of God's plan. You see, even when things seem chaotic and out of control, God is still in control and there's nothing that can take him by surprise. God knew Putin was going to do that war in Ukraine. Jesus told us the poor going to be with us always. Homelessness is not surprising God. Because look at this. Just think about it. The heart of mankind is being waxed cold. Men and women are leaning to their own understanding and doing whatever seeming right. And we live in a very selfish world. So if the people that can help the people decide not to help, then they're going to have more people that need help. Do the math. It's not a secret or evolution or anything like that. People are lovers of themselves. You see, we sometimes worry about what's happening to us. Because we do not know what's best for us, but God does. Do you trust him tonight? You see, the principle of God working all things out together for our good is well illustrated in the Old Testament. You see, if we look at the life of Job, hallelujah, y'all know Job. Job had jealous brothers. They sold him into slavery in Egypt. But Joseph rose by the hand of God to a position of responsibility. Then they turn around and he was unjustly imprisoned and all of his friends forgot about him. But you see, God had already planted a gift in him before the foundation of the world that he knew Joseph would need for a time like this. You see, God gifted him with the ability to interpret dreams, and through that ability, Joseph is once again rise to the place of honor. Well, check it out in the book of Genesis, y'all. You see, when a drought forced Joseph's brothers to seek food elsewhere, they traveled to Egypt and encountered Joseph, who eventually saved them from starvation and granted them a livelihood in a new land. That was pretty nice. You see, what the devil had set up for the bad, God had turned it around for the good. But you see, God had a master plan. And in that plan, before the foundation, Job, God looked at him and knew that there would be a time when the Israelites would be needed to be saved from starvation. Come on, y'all. He was already in Joseph. And then God gave him the gift to perform it. And Joseph walked in faith. He wasn't murmuring and disputing about everything. Oh, woe is me. Look what's happening. Why me? Many people often ask God, why me? And sometimes people say, if not you, then who? Just because we love the Lord and we accepted him as our Savior, it didn't give us an attachment of a rose garden. Certain things just happen. Rain fall on the just as well as the unjust. Flood waters rise in the homes of the saved as well as the unsaved. Come on, y'all. When an earthquake cracks the ground, it just doesn't crack it on the sinners. But you see, even though these things happen to us after we have been saved and love the Lord, he works it out together for our good, because it's never what you go through, it's who you go through it with. Hold on, my brothers and sisters. And I picked up the life of Paul. Paul suffered a shipwreck, beatings, imprisonment, murder attempts. He was temporarily blind one time. I know y'all know the story. And more. Than even that, all within God's plan to spread the gospel. See, y'all know Paul was persecuting the Christians. Paul believed in Judaism, which believed in the Father, but they never believed that the Son was the Messiah. So when people began to say, Jesus, 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 Paul began to crucify them. But old Jesus met him. And before the foundation of the world, he had planned that Paul would open the doors to the Gentiles. And Paul was very good at what he did, and God knew if he worked that hard for Judaism, what more would he do for Christianity? And you just let you know, God do not allow your past to dictate your future. It's the kind of God we serve. God is a good God and worthy to be praised. You see, after promising that God will work things out together for our good, the Christian is assured that nothing can separate them from the love of God. In that same chapter that I asked you to read, 29th and the 30th verse, which I said was posted, And the verse reads, for whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, then he justified. Come on, y'all. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, this scripture is letting us know God knows the future and his desires will be accomplished. You see, Isaiah 46 and 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. This is God telling them, if I say that, you can believe it. And I will do my pleasure. This lets us know that God is doing the work with his mighty stretched out hand. It's amazing all of the work that God is doing in our lives. And yet, we could be so lackadaisical with the things of God. I love to say, if you take care of God's business, he's going to take care of yours. We understand that God has chosen and predestined us. We should also realize that we have been ordained to good work, to bear fruit, and to take on the image of Christ. That's our part in it, y'all. He said, I'm justifying, I'm glorifying, I called, I did this. But why? For you to do that. We see from this scripture that the predestination, and this is important, the predestination that this scripture is talking about did not overrule your free will. Yes, we are free moral agents. Some people have told me over and over again, well, Sister Diane, if God already predestined everybody who's going to be saved, or he predestined everything for every life and stuff, what sense do it make me, for me to be trying to do this and do that and do that? Because supposing he didn't predestine me. You got to realize what this is really saying is that God knew from before you were born how you would choose. God is all-knowing, y'all. God has foreknowledge of all happenings, not only in my life and yours, but he knows everything from the beginning of time to the end of time. That is because of his foreknowledge. It is predestined because he foreknew your decision. One of the greatest attributes of God is his omniscience, which simply means that he knows everything, and he knows the past and the future. And he knows everything that's going on at this moment. He know y'all on the line that words of wisdom, plain and simple. He knows even that. You see, God chose his son. Jesus' crucifixion was planned before the foundation of the world. Remember, God prophesied it in the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse. Right after everything was created, and right after man fell in the 2nd chapter, come on, y'all, of Genesis, God knew we would need a Savior because of his foreknowledge. His crucifixion was planned from the foundation of the earth. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus paid for you and for me to be adopted into a family with his precious blood at Calvary. We are part of the family of God because our elder brother, God only begotten son, purchased our right to be called the children of God. You see, it is he that justifies us, which indicates being declared righteous, and we will be glorified by the hand of God when Jesus returns. The work of God, working it out together for our good. He didn't just save us and leave us there. This scripture said he justified us. He called us. He justified us, and he's going to glorify us. He's constantly working things out together for our good. The Lord always finished what he starts, and he's doing the work. Because Philippians 2 and 13 states, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasures. It is God that doing the work in you, come on y'all, by his hands to do his will and to do his good pleasures. He didn't put it on our back, y'all. He's working in us to accomplish his will. And the last verse says, What shall then say to these words? If God be for us, who can be against us? All right. Can you stand with confidence and say that? Do you have the blessed assurance of God to be that confidence to just say, if God is for me, I ain't worried about nothing else. You see, if God, who has all power in himself and all the events of time and eternity under his direction, then our sure, never failing, everlasting Father, who secured our salvation and happiness in times and all the way through eternity, if that God, come on y'all, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who gave his son, the God who allowed you to be born by your mother, the God that had given you food when you didn't know where you would get it from. I'm talking about the God that delivered you out of many trials and tribulations. The God, come on, y'all. I'm talking about that God. If that God is for you, who can be against you? You know, when we look at this, the real hurt that the world and the devil and all of his instruments and his little imps and his demons do us by our suffering from them. There's ladies crying right now because their children went to the prom the other night and someone decided to go in there and shoot for no reason and kill two of them. The hurt that the world and Satan is placing upon us. The man was doing an odd job and fixing a mailbox the other day, and someone came and shot him. And when they took the two people who did it, two brothers, one of them said they had decided that they was going to wake up and just go out and kill somebody. The things that are happening to us. We have leaders that's over us that are not concerned about the people, not at all. But there's nothing we can do. If all of the things and the suffering that they could do to us, you got to remember, we who are called, come on now, when we were sinners, we was justified when we was guilty. We was sanctified when unholy. Shall we have reason to hope? And in due time we will be glorified. Even now that we are despised, oppressed, and persecuted Can any of our enemies, whether visible or invisible, with any success, oppose our enjoying the inheritance of the children of God? What God has for his children is for us. And also we have to remember the work that God has for us to do is for us to do. That's my lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns for those who would like to speak at this time? You could press the 1 button on your phone and I will open your mic and you can come to us any way that God is leading you. Anyone who would like to make any comment can press the 1 button on your phone. And before I close out and let my dear sister do the benediction, I have a first-time caller on the line, and God has given me the privilege to be able to speak with him one-on-one, and we had a great fellowship. And I don't know if he's shy, so I didn't want to really call him out or anything like that. But I just want you to know, Isaiah, I recognize your number and I know you're on the line. And I thank God for you. Come and you're here. That's faithfulness. And if you would like to say anything, you could press the 1 button on your phone. Well, if there's nothing else to be said at this time, we could have our benediction from our dear Sister Pam. Sister Pam.
Yeah, darling. Can you hear me, Minister Diane?
Yes, I can hear you now. Sister Pam?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. So I know you might want to do your prayer and your benediction. Come
right.
If you like.
Yes, I sure will.
All righty.
Okay, let me get my prayer list. Good evening, everybody. The prayer list for May the 3rd, the first Wednesday of May, read as for Kathy Hartman, Diane McBride and family, Roderick McGee, John McGee, Rogers Lacaze, Quine Charles, Zabrian Williams, Angel Taylor, Linda Howard, Sylvester Daniels, Barbara, Sister Mary Jo Pope, Hayes, Brother KJ, Minister Diane Adams, Maddie Bernardo, Katina Orlando, Gina, Jace, Michael and Ashley, Michael's son, Sandra Oliver and sons, Minister Paula Cloud, Brother Corey, Nicholas Smiles, and Gennaro and Sheila Ashalise. The benediction tonight will be coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's our Bible study for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, We'll be back again next week this time. And I just want you guys to know that the callers from the different parts of Africa has been calling listening to the prayer line on the internet, and it's a beautiful thing. We have South Africa. We have Kenya. There's a place called Shela, which is an island in Africa, and the percentage of those calls coming from there has been rising. We have people in Canada. Hallelujah, y'all. So we have to be prayerful for this prayer line, not just because, but what we should do. This is what God has given us, and we don't know who it can touch or when it touches them. But we have to be prayed up and be serious and be partakers in a household of faith and pray for the body of Christ, that even though we are planting the seeds and they're being watered, and wait for God to give the increase. So I wanted to share that with you, and to all of the listeners in any portion or section of Africa, we say thank you for your support and calling in and fellowshipping in the word of God. And that's it for tonight. If it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back on next Wednesday. But until then, everybody go in peace and have a blessed evening. And I pray that you have a really, really good sleep tonight. So until next week, goodbye.